miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Craig Sheeman, Pete Shepherd, Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. 2 hours down, two to go, live and local, 2 to 6 every weekday. It's a very soothing song. I don't know that I'm familiar with this one.
I don't think I am either.
Chris, help us out here. Is this one of your new millennial type songs?
No.
This is 60s?
This sounds 60s, 70s here.
Yeah. Wham, Bam, Shang-a-Lang.
Oh, Wham, Bam, Shang-a-Lang.
By Silver.
Yep.
What year? We don't know. This has got like 1969 written all over.
Oh, sorry. This is Lakeshore Drive by...
Please stand
Alioda,
by.
Haynes, Jeremiah.
Should we play songs that we're familiar with
in our
new bumper
song.
Music?
It's a toe tapper.
It is a very pleasant song. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know anything about it. And I used to DJ every format under the sun.
Me too. I'm trying to think.
All right, fine.
No.
I'm
not poo-pooing it. I'm just
239 just says excellent selection. It is a good song.
Could 239 tell us about the song? Because we know nothing about what we're playing here. I think I also struck a nerve here on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Do you want me to know every song that I play?
It's a song written by Skip Haynes with the Chicago-based rock group Alotta, Haynes, and Jeremiah, as you said. Initially recorded on August 7th, 1970, released in 1971.
The song is
a homage to the famed Lakefront Highway in Chicago. Due to the fact that LSD had been long an abbreviation for the drive, many people thought the song referred to the hallucinogenic drug.
I cannot promote drug use on the show.
Numerous fans of the song and residents of Chicago believe the song paints an accurate musical picture of living and driving in downtown Chicago.
All right. On that note, I think I struck a nerve about hating mowing the lawn. A couple of texts on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line, the 239. After I got my first riding mower, I was excited to use it for a year or so, but then the novelty wore off.
That song was in Guardian of the Galaxy. I knew it. It was in Guardians of the Galaxy, the second one.
Yes, it was.
Now that's allowable.
Now.
How do you think I found the song?
Oh.
Well, why didn't you say that up top?
I'm not going to give away all my secrets.
That would have been good information to know.
That's a great soundtrack, by the way.
Yes, it is.
It's fantastic.
It's great. It's very 80s-ish.
I think I've used 3 songs as the rejoiner in 3 days.
Mr. ELO's, I think Mr. Blue Sky was in that one. That's another great one. Mm. Living Thing. Oh, another ELO is fantastic.
Not too bad. May I share some more texts with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
239, I am female. I love mowing the lawn. Come over to my house when my dues are due. Let's see. 941, I used to get satisfaction out of doing my yard or lawn. Now I have to do mine and my mother's, and I want to put down AstroTurf. Another one says it's great exercise. Another one says it's great for the legs. I even mow my neighbor's lawn. Seriously? Ugh.
Mm.
All right.
Fox on the Run by Sweet. That is probably my all-time ultimate favorite sleeper song ever.
To it?
Huh?
You go to sleep to it?
No, sleeper song, just like, you know.
Oh, underrated.
Underrated. Awesome, awesome song.
I think I know that song.
Yes, you do.
I do, okay. There was one other thing before we get back into the news of the day, the college football poll, the fact that Duke is going to win the entire NCAA basketball tournament, and Des Bryant is now a Saint. We'll get to all that in due time. Joe Zagacki at the bottom of the hour. And let's see. Also, we'll get ourselves to do a qualified winner for the Stream Song Golf Resort package. Chris mentioned, I can't remember if this was on the air or off the air. I think this was off the air. Chris mentioned that the El Chapo trial is getting ready to get underway. This is the gangster from Mexico. I believe he's in U.S. custody and is getting ready to go to trial. He's escaped maximum prisons repeatedly with help, right?
Of course.
Drug warlord from Mexico? Is that a proper way to describe him?
Yes, yeah. He is a drug lord.
Yeah.
Not a warlord, drug lord.
Okay, all right. We apparently are having problems filling the jury. Nobody wants to be among the 12. I'm presuming because they fear for their lives, right? I would think that's the reason why. I wouldn't want to. There are two people I fear.
No.
I fear El Chapo more than I fear Suge Knight.
This is from the New York Times. El Chapo is such a fearsome figure that earlier this year, the judge in the case ruled that the jury would remain anonymous and would be escorted for their safety to and from the court each day by United States Marshals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
And they're still having a hard time.
I still don't feel safe. Somebody's going to tip somebody off. And then on your way to court one day, you're all going to get blasted.
It'll be jury selection started Monday in federal district court in Brooklyn.
Man.
Tough.
I wouldn't do it.
And one request that Mr. Chapo has had towards the judge is to let him hug his wife. He just wants to hug his wife.
Yeah.
So, what are they passing in between each other?
Don't say that. Like a file knife,
something to pick the lock.
Nope.
Nothing.
I wouldn't go there.
Here's the thing.
Let me tell you how this is going to go down. Is he a fan
of
Sheeman and
Chapo? I'm just going to call
Chapo.
Got a
Sheeman and Shepard T-shirt on.
Mr. Chapo.
This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to go down. The trial's going to be held in Manhattan, right?
Yeah.
All right. What will happen is they will reach out to whatever's left of the five families, of the local, the Bonanno family, the Colombo family, the Anastasia family, whoever's left out of the five families, they will reach out. And there's not a lot left. Most of them are dead or in jail. They will reach out. Mm-hmm. Trust me. And they will have, those are the people that will protect them. Guaranteed.
Protect El Chapo or
the good people? The good people. That's what will happen.
Really?
Absolutely.
One woman said, what scares me is I read that his family will come after jurors and their families.
Yeah, well.
That would scare me as well.
There's still a little bit of a commission left in the five families in New York City, I'm telling you. And I promise you, they're already on it. they've been contacted already. Whoever's left. It's not like it was back in the 50s and 60s.
It's unnerving.
It is, but that's unfortunate because who are you going to trust? You're going to trust them because the government has to do things by the book, and you can't go by the book when dealing with people like Chapo.
No way.
You cannot do it.
Send them down
to Gitmo. You got to go underground, and that's just the way it is. That's just life, unfortunately. Sad, but true. But that's what's going to happen.
You'll
never read about it that way until later on in some movie, but I promise you that local authorities in New York City have reached out to whatever's left of the commission, and they will do their best to try to protect those people. Because it's ridiculous. And on that note, did you see Chris trying to make a Breaking Bad movie? Vince Gilligan is writing a Breaking Bad movie. It might be on AMC or it might be in the movie theater. But speaking of drugs,
Chris is on the phone.
Oh, sorry, Chris.
By the way, if you want to jump in, it is 239-337 ESPN 239-337-3776. Our phone number here. If you want to jump on Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. One more text I want to share with you from the 810. I came home from work. My wife was mowing the lawn. She's 8 months pregnant.
Oh, God.
Thanks for making me look like a jerk. That seems like something Chris would do. I could see, but he's got. I'm serious. I could see that happening in Chris's household if he didn't have a HOA cut in his yard. That's just me. I don't know.
No, come on.
You don't think so? 7 months is where you draw the line?
Six.
Six.
You get the bump.
Wow. All right.
If you're showing, then I'll give you the pass.
If you're showing, you don't have to mow. You show, no mow. That's how it goes. All right, I'm intrigued by one other story before we get into the hard-hitting sports of the day.
And real quick, the Vikings claimed Amir Abdullah off waivers.
They can have him.
Yeah.
Give Devin Cook a break.
You're going to miss him.
Dalvin.
Yeah, same thing. So there's this story. It's front and center on ESPN.com today. About moonshining,
yes,
and how this is a longstanding tradition in West Virginia that is still taking place. In fact, it's a big part of tailgating. Now, it's still illegal, mind you, because they can't regulate it and all that kind of stuff, tax it, the whole deal. But apparently, moonshining in West Virginia is still big time and a big part of West Virginia football. We will mention West Virginia football is very relevant right now. They may get a Heisman winner. They may get into the playoff. I don't know. But, very big. You ever sampled some moonshine before?
I think I have. And it's very potent. And it's, what's it made? Corn? Made with corn. Field corn and Soft Creek water gave West Virginians the requisite ingredients to produce a profitable spirit.
Talking about moonshine?
Yeah, yes. I think I've had.
Have you ever sampled?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Good stuff.
Great stuff.
It's like a it's potent.
Great stuff.
It's like grappa or ooze. I mean, it is powerful. I mean,
it'll knock you.
Yes, which is why flat. Then people drink it. A lot of it are these big
mason jars.
Mason
that's
jars.
How you know it's
looks
the
like
real
a Long
deal.
Island iced tea.
Well, so it's bad. It could be clear. It depends.
Well,
on
there's
how it's...
some, and I don't know the specifics of it, but like I know. If I had ever had some, it tasted like it was from Georgia because it had a little peach at the bottom, and the peach just, the flavor really comes through.
Yep.
You think biting that peach would be delicious at the end. It's like all the flavor from the moonshine goes into the peach, and then the peach like aromates into the...
Is that a word?
Aerates.
How do you spell that?
The
know,
aromatic effervescence.
I will tell you to,
effervescence.
I think
there's apple pie where you put a little apple in there and some cinnamon sticks.
That would be good.
Yeah, they make it really good.
I think my family has some moonshine background. Like
you shiners?
I think. Well, yes. My parents were here in studio earlier. We should have asked my mom. I think I got great grandpa. Like we're getting through the depression, and I think we got ties to West Virginia too.
Wow.
By the way, your mom Jody might be the sweetest person ever on the planet.
Oh, well, thank you.
And your dad, Mike, is a great guy, too.
Yes, I think so, too.
Great people.
We'll
great,
appreciate
it. What the hell happened to you?
I don't know. You know, this one family,
teasing.
I
You're...
took a left turn. apple pie moonshine is where it's at, Chris, according to the 239.
Oh, it's fantastic.
But can you drink a whole mason jar of it?
No.
Why do people, is that just a sip?
What's the blood alcohol content?
I mean, that's got to be what, 70 proof, 100 proof?
It's like 100.
It's over 100.
That's what I mean. It's like Bacardi 151, you know, that kind of, like it's basically.
Well, it's made in the mountains, so there's not an actual proof to it. It's not like made in a mill somewhere, so it kind of varies. But no, they make it, so.
You can fuel a jet with that stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm telling you. I'll come out and say it. Statute of Limitations. Went to a country concert a few years ago. Zac Brown Band. It's a fantastic concert.
Yeah?
I think.
You think? You don't remember?
Yeah, because I got into the moonshine on the way over.
Who was providing moonshine?
I'm not going to say that.
Well, no, not a person, but somebody in your group just say, hey, Chris, let's open up the trunk.
Somebody in my group had come down from Georgia.
Who made it?
I don't know.
Did they buy moonshine, or did somebody in your group make the moonshine?
No, somebody bought it from, like, a real moonshiner, moonshinist.
Yeah, sure.
Standard moonshine, 160 to 180. And the callers, the texters right, too.
180?
Yeah, the texters right, though. There's a TV show about it.
There's enough flavor in a moonshine to overpower 90% alcohol?
Yes. It's unbelievable, Craig. I mean, you would have one sip, and you would be down for the count.
I remember having Coors Light again.
It's tough. That is...
It's real deal stuff, man.
Even if you mix it, even if you put a drop in, say, seltzer water or Diet Coke or Diet Mountain.
No, you don't.
But for you, if you want it to dilute a
little bit. Straight, right?
And don't buy that stuff from the liquor store. That's not moonshine. Bad liquor.
So you see in the back parking lot somewhere behind a Walmart at midnight, that's where you get it.
Well, it takes a while to make. You got to do it properly.
Just the fermentation process and all that. You got to have a cold crick.
Crick. Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Any moonshine conversation is welcome at 239-337-ESPN. And Chris,
if you want to text in.
Bring some in someday.
Or call.
Don't call. Just text.
Chris in Naples has an El Chapo update. This will be good. Chris, welcome.
Heck,
how are you?
What's up, Chris?
I obviously don't have an update because the update would be that I'm not around. But I love the turn of events here as far as your guys' conversation, because the moonshine thing, just for the record, I do know some friends. And once you know a good friend, you're all good. But he brings it down from Tennessee. But here's a great one for you. Just get regular moonshine. And when I say regular, some people now are using old oak or old bourbon barrels. So basically just adds a little different flavor in the color.
Okay.
But if you just take regular good old moonshine, real moonshine that you get from somebody, take up candy canes, crush them up, pulverize them, throw them in there, swirl them around. It kills the burn. It's pretty incredible.
Chris, how long does a good moonshine take to make properly? How long ferment? A day, two days, a week?
I'm not an expert. But I do know that you can taste the difference because just imagine how rubbing alcohol smells.
Yes.
That's what crappy moonshine tastes like.
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Moonshine,
okay,
has a nice burn, but it warms you from the inside out, and you can tell the difference if you've had a couple sips here and there.
It sounds like a brandy. Wow. Is it?
No, I mean, it's more powerful. No, he's right. It's more like rubbing alcohol without the flavor. That's what it smells like.
Good stuff, strong. So just real quick, guys, I wanted to tell you, I've called in several times. I wanted to say Chris. I love Chris because he's a man of his word. I'll call in sometimes, and I'll mention something. He'll say, hey, we'll drop it in if I get a chance, and he does, and I appreciate that. When I first started listening to you guys, because you came on after the other fellas, which I enjoyed them, but you guys at first, but I'm really enjoying the show. I enjoyed the chemistry. Now, I thought for a while Chris was really kind of pompous, because it comes from a little bit of a bloodline.
But fact.
What I enjoy and what I'm starting to enjoy even more is that he backs it up. He's a smart young gentleman. And regardless of where he came from, how he got there, I enjoy his banter because he is smart. He's educated. And when he doesn't know his crap, he is at least admitting it. So I wanted to say also that I looked you up, now I'm
Sheeman or Shepard.
It's either Craig Sheeman or Pete Shepard.
You probably look me up. I have much more of a hit. Well,
it was you.
Yeah.
Because you look just like you sounded, and that's not a bad thing. But
I'm much thinner now.
Well, yeah, whatever, brother. We got to deal with what we got. But listen, I love you guys, the show, man. I just enjoyed it in the afternoon. I bounced back and forth between your sister station there. Those are a bunch of good guys. I hope you guys all get along over there.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
But
we
do.
Yeah. So I just wanted to call in and brag a little bit. I love that we have a big, it feels like a big time show, and it should be.
Well, let me ask you this, Christian. What did you want to say about El Chapo, though?
Yeah.
Well, I follow this quite a bit. I'm one of these weirdos that kind of, I just follow like weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, you know, people talk about how much money you have and come out reaching out and touch somebody. And you were just mentioning how, you know, I wouldn't trust anybody except for the people that are usually on the not to be trusted list.
Uh-huh.
But this guy, they put his money in the billions, and that's just what they can think they account for. So you can imagine the stranglehold that he has on people. I would not. I don't know how you go through a trial like that. I don't know how you can think that there's not one witness or one juror that's going to be tainted. It's going to be quite the process to see. We do know that he's a murderer, but just like the boss they called him,
Whitey.
You know what I'm thinking of, the cocaine cowboy. Good Lord, I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, Mark.
Johnny Depp.
No, not Johnny. No.
Escobar,
yes.
Pablo Escobar. So, but basically what he did was he built villages, entire cities for people that had nothing. So he has a reach that goes well beyond just, you know, dirtbags. It'll be interesting to see the very least. I like the fact that you guys bring up other topics and not just shove the same minutia down our throats. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Chris, thanks.
Thank
man.
You, Chris, very much. Appreciate it.
No, you're right, because I can't sit here and do X's and O's. But I do think, and we'll be following the El Chapo thing because
we're scared.
I'm being serious. You can have all the government protection
Mr.
you
Chapo.
Want. More than likely, if there's anybody in that commission left of the five family, with the Bonanno family, Genovese family, Lucchese, Columbo's, whoever's left, I guarantee you, if they're still doing business and those guys who are left still control a lot of the drug money that goes on in this country, unfortunately, they will have done business with this guy somewhere along the way. And the only way they're going to be able to protect those jurors and anything else is if they're on the same page. That's the only way it's going to happen. Forget the government, forget local authorities. Ain't going to happen. It'll have to be those people who's ever left. That's just the way it is.
Pete Shepard, with your Northeastern Italiano background, you seem to have a lot of knowledge about the gangsters. I'm just saying.
And again, I'm not one of them, but I know three things that happen if you get involved with that lifestyle eventually. You will end up dead, broke, or alone. That's what will happen.
Nobody's rich.
That's what will happen.
Nobody wins.
You may be rich for a while.
Oh, eventually,
You're going to get it.
You're going to get whacked. You're going to get whacked. Say in the business.
Speaking of, I watched Analyze This the other night.
Well, that's a funny comedy.
Just a great movie.
Yeah, that's a funny comedy.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
But basically, this guy is like Escobar, and he's like, if you watch Scarface, it's like, Alejandro Sosa, the one that Al Pacino did business with at the very end when he sent 5,000 people to kill him. At the end of the movie. So that's what you're dealing with.
Spoiler
and the caller's, alert. Well, the caller's right about what Escobar, I mean, it's his, he's a psycho nut job, or was, but I mean, he did a, people, there were a lot of people out there, poor people, rich people that loved the guy because of what he did. There were people like that for Whitey Bulger, too, that thought he did such wonders for his community.
Really,
the guy's a
Colombian
psycho
soccer
nutcase.
We got any mafia types down here? Maybe a second home in Naples or anything like us? Like everybody else?
There's no such thing. There's no such thing.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No such thing. Oh,
no such thing as what?
Mafia.
All right.
It's made up.
All right. What other sports show? What other radio show? Could we do a whole segment on Moonshine and El Chapo?
Juventus just scored.
And be interrupted by soccer that nobody cares about.
Yes,
sir.
That's good for me.
Yeah, I'm the Moonshine thing is fascinating to me because.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. I think I had it in New Orleans, and I don't know. Remember where I was at? It wasn't at a bar. Somebody had it. I don't remember, but I know it was. I know I had a tiny. I mean, one sip. That was it.
You're done.
But I didn't have it as nice as they said apple. I didn't have any apple pie moonshine. I know
no,
that.
I'm telling you, if it is made the proper way and you let the flavor really get into it, it's fantastic. Yeah. It really, like, it's strong. It'll knock you out, but it'll taste good going down at least.
It doesn't come back up, does it?
I can later. That's I was actually, my hot take on golf is not a sport started on moonshine.
Really?
How about that?
You were on moonshine?
I was drinking moonshine, and I came up with that bit of brilliance.
There you go.
Popped into my brain.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
It's a game.
Do we, by the way, have an update on our poll? We put a poll question
out
there today, didn't we, about the college football poll?
Yes, we do. We do have
a poll about the poll.
Poll about the poll. So the poll question for the day is, who gets left out of the hashtag college football playoff? If Georgia beats Bama in the SEC championship game, Clemson wins out, Michigan wins out, and Notre Dame wins out. Close to 100 votes. 39% say Michigan.
Wow.
37% say Notre Dame. 18% say Bama. And 6% say Clemson.
So what are the differences again of Michigan and Notre Dame?
39% for Michigan, 37% for Notre Dame.
So it's pretty close. Okay, very good. All right. We'll continue to take your calls on that. It's a great conversation as well. 239-337-ESPN. Joe Zagacki will be joining us next. We'll talk about the Miami Hurricanes and their struggles and figure out what are we going to do at quarterback, among other things. We'll do that. They got Georgia Tech coming up next. That's going to be a tough game to defend, if anything else. And I'll tell you what, Stream Song Resort. You know, we've been registering winners. Caller number 9 will give you a free sleeve of Callaway golf balls with the 99.3 ESPN logo on it, and that gets you qualified for a grand prize to hang out with Pete and me for 2 nights at Stream Song Resort and play a round of golf. Caller number 9 right now. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
One of them thinks cooking is cool. The other thinks white tube socks are. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Craig Sheeman, Pete Shepard, 99.3 ESPN. Thanks for checking us out on a Wednesday afternoon. You know what we do on Wednesdays? We talk Hurricanes football. By the way, quick congratulations to Michelle. She was caller number 9 for our Stream Song Resort
prize
package. Congratulations to her. Joe Zagacki is the play-by-play announcer for the Hurricanes. Tough loss to Duke last week. Getting ready to take on Georgia Tech, and he joins us now. Joe, how are you?
Are you dry yet, Joe?
I'm dry. I'm petitioning the ACC for a recount for the last 3 weeks.
Oh,
my goodness.
There's a lot to cover, no doubt about it. Let me ask you on a little sidebar, though. Right before we joined you in conversation, we were reading a story on ESPN.com about moonshining at West Virginia football games and tailgating out there. I have never partaken in moonshine, but my partners have. Have you ever had a good moonshine anywhere?
No. I would say the closest I've come to moonshine would be the former University of Miami athletic director Sam Jankovic brought in Schlibovitz one time to the studio during the Hurricane Hotline. Schlibovitz, that's Serbian, and he poured it in styrofoam cup and burned a hole right through it.
Oh, my God.
Leibovitz, it's got to be the same.
No doubt.
That's wow. The Serbian version of moonshine.
If it's doing that to a cup, what's it doing to your stomach? That's unbelievable, yeah. Man. All right.
I could have used some Leibovitz last week, by the way.
Yeah, let's talk about it. A game and a downpour of all downpours, and it just didn't work out the Hurricanes' way, and the slide continues. Your thoughts after the Duke game?
I think what has happened is we've moved into now the area of it's not one problem that is affecting the team. It's not, you know, you can point a finger. People want to point the finger at play calling and quarterback play. We now, this season, I think, probably on the island by myself, have moved into an area of losing your compass on winning. Mm. Now it's becoming a little bit of everything. It's field position. It's, okay, the first play of the game goes for a 75-yard touchdown. It's one thing to give up a 75-yard drive, but a one-play 75-yard touchdown, the first play of the game, I think puts you in a position where you're chasing the rest of the game. It means you're not ready to play. And it's like giving up a kickoff or a kickoff return for a touchdown. And then, you know, you lose the field position battle. You lose the turnover battle. And that's where they are. They're starting to lose every battle, and that's what losing teams do.
But how is Mark Richt going to turn this around? And I don't disagree with anything he's saying. It's just, I still think, yes, we can talk about execution, but I still think to score one touchdown in the second half of the last three games, it's unacceptable. I don't care if it's a blizzard, a hurricane, rainy, I don't care. It's unacceptable, and you can't keep going Rozier, Perry, Rozier, Perry, Rozier, Perry. Just stick with Nkosi and see. You got nothing to lose the rest of the year anyway. And whoever's calling the plays is not getting it done. I don't know who he's getting his advice from, but it's not getting done. I'm sorry. There's too much talent on this team to be that inept on offense, Joe. I'm angry.
Yeah, I can tell you're angry. I can tell you're angry. I am of a stay the course person, and so we'll see what happens. I'm not going to try to talk anybody out of their position because that never works. So I don't think it's a play calling issue. I think it's more of a talent issue. I think that the common denominator on this team, if I look at what they've done in the body of work for Mark Richt, which is like 35 games, half the games he's at 400 yards or more. In those games, they win. They're 16-1. In the games where they don't generate any offense, under 400 yards or more, they're 7-10. So it's a split. It's neutral. And to me, I look at it and I say, college football is about guys that are points producers who can get the ball into the end zone. And for Miami, that answer is, I think, two guys, DJ Dallas and Jeff Thomas. Mm-hmm. Who else can get the ball into the end zone? Now, Amon Richards could get the ball into the end zone. Braxton Berrios could get it to the end zone. Herndon Njoku, but nobody else has stepped up to say or has demonstrated. I thought Mark Pope would be one of those guys. Mm-hmm. I did. He hadn't caught a pass. I thought Mike Harley would be one of those guys. And he is not. So Cager and Langham. You know, Cager, I made the comment, he got called for the push-off in the end zone for a touchdown, which actually I thought was kind of borderline. Yep. I'm watching Georgia Tech, their defense. I'm watching them to get ready for this game. And I see a Georgia Tech defensive back with a two-hand push on a Carolina guy for an interception late in the game. But my comment about Cager was, now he's going to push off? Mm. Where has that been for 4 years? You know, if you're going to push off, you get reputations. His reputation is as a soft player. So now all of a sudden he's going to push off. He's announcing to the world, hey, this is what I'm going to do. That should have been part of his toolbox a long time ago. But I'm also of the opinion, watching them play and practice and some of the stuff they did in the game, everybody wants to spread them out and go faster and throw the ball down the field. I think I'm almost of the other opinion. I'm like, you can't throw it, barely catch it, you can't protect, become poor man's Wisconsin. I'm watching them on the practice field, and they did a little bit in the game. They put in these two extra tackles, and so now you've got, what, 7-8 men on the line of scrimmage. They put Campbell and Zalante Hillary in there, two extra tackles. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? Run it. Become a sled. See if you can run it. Do one thing well. What can you do well right now? run the ball. Maybe that'll work. Run it, and maybe that'll set up some play action. As far as the quarterback is concerned, I'm not impressed by either one. I don't know which way you go with that.
I don't know. And I mean, it's not like an Alabama situation a couple of years ago where they could use. I feel like offensively the loss. I gotta believe Manny Diaz is going to be, you know, a little upset because I think the defense overall is doing a pretty good job. They're doing what they're supposed to do on the whole. And they're going to have a tough task this week again with that, you know, you always talk about assignment football with Georgia Tech, but they are 4-1 against them the last five times, I believe. And, you know, last year took kind of a miracle play to beat them again in the pouring rain. But, you know, do you think, is there starting to sense some friction at all, you know, because the defense is playing reasonably well and the offense can't get in the end zone?
No, not really. I just think they're not playing complementary football. And you have to have that in any sport, so nothing is tied together. The offense, defense, special teams, none of it's tied together. That falls, you know, on Coach Rick. He's the head coach. When they had the 15-game win streak, I was looking back at that today, trying to find what's the missing element. And, you know, when you had the 15-game winning streak, all that stuff was coming together. But to answer your question, I think Manny Diaz has done a pretty good job with his defense.
Yeah.
To keep them focused and not pointing fingers. Now, I'm not going to tell you in practice, some of those defensive linemen haven't pointed some fingers at the offensive linemen and got after them pretty good. I think they have, but I also think that's natural. I think the challenge for Manny Diaz is to keep them playing at a high level and not cave in. And that is my worry in this game. Georgia Tech is their whole M.O., is the boa constrictor offense. You know, squeeze the life out of you and make you quit. And sometimes your best defense against Georgia Tech is a good offense. And we know Miami doesn't have good offense right now, so I'm very concerned that if they don't generate some kind of offense, then the defense is not going to do what they're supposed to do.
Joe Zagacki is with us, a play-by-play announcer for the Miami Hurricanes with Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN. I'm going to go back to something you said a couple of questions ago, talk about, all right, what can we do well? And, you know, DJ Dallas and Travis Homer did combine for 257 yards. There was, unfortunately, the two fumbles by Dallas that killed. But, I mean, maybe that is the strategy against Georgia Tech because we know they're not going to throw the ball for 300 yards. Heck, they might not throw it for 100 yards.
But they will run it for over 300 yards. We know that.
I know, but it'll slow the game down. It'll make it, you know, your big chunks. You put together a nice running drive. Maybe Dallas and Homer all day long. Maybe that's the answer to kind of hit the reset button. I don't know. Just spitballing.
Well, the thing is, the other night they ran for 300 yards and lost. I never thought I'd see that from a Miami team.
Yeah.
So that to me is like, oh, my God. Now we're in this abyss of, you know, you just can't find a way to win. Sometimes you just got to find a way to win. And so they've lost their way. To me, they've lost their way. And so maybe going back to trying to establish something. Now, part of that plan is dependent on Homer, who couldn't practice yesterday because of a calf injury. So Cameron Davis was in there with DJ Dallas. We'll have to see what kind of shape Homer is in on Saturday. But, you know, a running game does solve a lot of problems. If you can run it well, it solves a lot of offensive issues. And you know, maybe during that 15-game winning streak, maybe they coached around some of their issues and they were able to protect their quarterback a little bit and some other guys made some plays, but maybe because they were generating just enough of a running game, that did help them. And now, you know, you got the running game going the other day and you cough the ball up, fumble it twice. So that didn't help either.
And, you know, I'm concerned right now about playing this team at this particular time, especially on the road. We know Georgia Tech leads the FBS in rushing offense, 377 yards a game, as we've been talking about. The fifth in time of possession. This is the stat that I think you got to be aware of. And it's been that way for the last few years. I mean, they average keeping the ball about 34 and a half minutes a game. So possessions on average for the Hurricanes are going to be, they got to take advantage of it because you know Georgia Tech's going to run the clock out. That's what they do. So assignment football once again is huge. Is Joe, my question to you is this team disciplined enough right now to, quote, you know, stay in their lane and be disciplined and assignment football and all that stuff and do their job basically, not try to do too much?
On defense, I think they are. Now Georgia Tech has been binging on the run game. 542 yards against Louisville, 465 against Virginia Tech, 461 against North Carolina, 61 rushes per game, 6.2 yards per play. These are astronomical numbers, for, even for Paul Johnson. The last two times Miami has played him, they've kept him under 300 yards, 266 last year, 267 the year before. So on one side of the ball, I think, yes, they are disciplined enough. But they were not disciplined enough last week against Duke. I said at the beginning of the game, Duke is a team that doesn't beat themselves, and Duke kind of, you know, took advantage of the rain and let Miami beat themselves. So, although I have to back up and say Miami did have three personal foul penalties on defense, and those were killers. If they don't show up on the scoreboard, they show up on field position, right?
Oh, yeah, so absolutely.
That's where Miami got themselves beat last week on defense. Gave up a cheap touchdown to begin the game. Three personal foul penalties led to points and or bad field position for the offense. So to answer your question, as a team, I don't believe they are, you know, discipline is obviously a big question with where they are right now. Yes, that would be something that I'm very concerned about. Yeah.
Joe Zagacki is with us. Joe, I think I've told you in the past, I used to do play-by-play for a military school, so a lot of wishbone and flexbone. It is not easy to call. I think I remember from you last year saying, for a guy that gets to see it once or twice a year, not a big fan, are you?
No. Not a big fan at all, but for a lot of reasons, I don't like it. And, yeah, for a play-by-play guy, you know, it's a shell game. Where is the ball?
Yeah.
I will give you a little secret here. Is I do have the ability to watch the All-22 version of games. And so I've spent most of last night and today watching Georgia Tech's offense on the camera behind the offense, just studying the six guys that are always involved in the play.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's it's tricky. Imagine that, you know, you got to try to defend that thing. So it's tricky for us to watch. It's pretty tricky to defend. And after you've watched it over and over and over, you go, well, it's not that complicated, you know, but somehow, some way, they just seem to get 4 or 5 yards at a clip.
Yeah.
And you need a good spotter right up in the press box, right? No doubt.
I don't use a spotter.
Oh, you don't?
Neither did I. You're on your own when it's a triple option. Don't have time to be looking over the spotter.
I wasn't sure if there wasn't just one there anyway, just for the sake of being. All right, let me just final question. At Bobby Dodd Stadium at Grant Field, historic place. All right, what's the best part about that stadium, and what are you looking forward to eating before the game?
I love going there.
Yeah.
That is a classic college football environment. It's on campus. It's in the city, so you get this great backdrop of the skyline, you know, all the Atlanta skyscrapers. As you look out of the press box and you look toward, you're on the west side of the field, so you look toward the east, you see all the skyscrapers of Atlanta. And then when they come out to begin the game, you know, they come out with that little buggy, that little car. And so I think the classic car, so I think that's pretty fun. And then between the third and the fourth quarter, they do the Budweiser song, each end zone. Their students are in each side of the end zone, north side and south side, and they bounce up and down to the Budweiser song. I think it's classic. I think it's a great little stadium nestled into downtown Atlanta, so I think it's a lot of fun.
Well, you're a lot of fun. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
again.
Joe.
And we'll be listening to you on Saturday night. Thank you for coming on again.
All right, fellas. Always a pleasure. We'll give it another go. Hopefully we end up with one excellent bingo on Saturday.
There you go. Good luck to you. Joe Zagacki, the play-by-play announcer for the Miami Heat each and every week. Georgia Tech
Miami
Saturday
Hurricanes.
Night. Miami. That's funny you said. Yes, for the Miami Hurricanes. You can hear him Saturday night here on 99.3 ESPN. Speaking of the Miami Heat.
They play tonight.
They do. And I'm going to tell you how your Marlins are copycatting the Heat. No original ideas for Jeter. All this coming up next. Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepard.
Play this too.
Love it. Craig Sheeman, Pete Shepard.
Coldplay, Clocks.
Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3.
Clocks, Coldplay.
ESPN. Good tune.
I love this song.
You're playing fake piano on the desk. Can you play this in real piano?
I can do this part, yes.
Air piano.
Or Pete's case, desk piano.
Yeah. Real piano, I can do it.
It's a good tune. I just got done talking to Joe Zagacki, play-by-play announcer for the Miami Hurricanes. You can comment anything he was talking about. College football, 239-337-ESPN. Chris, you're a fan of the Miami Heat and the Marlins and whatnot.
All Miami sports teams.
Yep.
Except the Panthers. I don't know why. Never taken a liking to them.
Are you more a Lightning guy or just not an NHL?
You know what? No, I'm just not an NHL guy.
Okay.
Too bad.
Well, so am
missing
I.
Out.
I'm not either.
Listen, it's a great sport. I'm not saying anything bad about it.
No, it's each his own. I'm just an original six, and you just...
I'm born in Detroit. I can't get hooked. I can't.
It's amazing.
I've tried.
I've never met anybody from Detroit that
I like
wasn't
going,
a diehard Red Wing fan.
I like going to the Everblade games. I like it. I like watching the Stanley Cup final. Notice I said final, not finals, because I'm a hockey expert. And anyway, enough of that nonsense. So, Chris, you know the new city uniforms of the Miami Heat we've talked about. They got the Miami Vice.
Yeah, not colors. As big of a fan of these as I was last year's.
Last year's they were white-based. This year they're black.
They're black-based. I like the fact that they did the whole court this year.
That's pretty cool.
So I think that they're doing all that tonight, which is just great.
All right, who do you got tonight? So it's on tonight?
We Spurs.
Can see it all? Okay.
Pop.
How many times a year are they?
D-Rose.
Jeez. Any more? T-Dunk. He's gone.
D-Rose for 50.
DeMar DeRozan, not the real D-Rose.
How many games a year do the NBA teams do these city lineups or these city uniforms?
I don't know. I think it's like the discretion of the team.
Okay. By the way, Manu's retired, right?
No, did he retire?
Yeah.
Ginobili did,
Yeah, he gone.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
So,
Hall of Famer, too. sixth man.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Billy had a second career coming off the bench.
The Marlins like the unis so much, they want to steal, take, use the colors. The Miami Heat city colors, they want to use them for the Marlins now.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Jeets can't come up with something OG. He's got to steal from the Heat.
Hey, what do you want him to do?
Well, what's wrong with their current
get
black,
players.
Red, and yellow? And, oh, by the way, get some players.
What's right with that logo? The Whataburger logo?
Yeah.
Whataburger, whatever it's.
Well, the logo's not the best, but I like the colors.
Overrated fast food chain?
Very overrated.
It's overrated. I'm sorry. It's not. And I know they're all over Tallahassee.
Yeah,
and Florida State fan is going to text in and be upset.
What is it? Which one?
Whataburger.
I don't think I've never had a Whataburger.
Don't worry, you're not missing
anything. Never had anything.
Here's the problem: everybody who loves them, that's all they know. Like people in Texas love them, and I'm telling you, that's all they know. They've never had an In-N-Out, or they've never been somewhere else and had other really good burgers. National chains. We had an awesome burger here last week in studio.
Oh, boy, Ed. Absolutely.
That was good. Was it Peas?
PJ. JP's.
Going blank here.
PJ's. Talking about Peas?
Yeah.
Like the food?
No. The burgers we got last week.
Yeah.
Jimmy Peas.
Jimmy Peas is awesome.
They were the best
Jimmy
ever.
Peas is... I haven't had a burger better than that in my life, ever.
If they could...
We're talking... But that's a different... You're talking...
If they go nationwide, they can put them...
You're talking, creme de la creme.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
Do we have time for this call, or are we late for the top of the hour?
Late.
All right, John, hang tight. We'll come to you. 239-337-ESPN. Coming up, headlines of the day. We'll talk some more college football poll. We'll talk how Duke is going to just win it all in basketball. I mean, why play the rest of the season based on what I saw last night? Mm-hmm. So we'll get to all that. We got 1 hour left. Don't worry, we got you covered. Sheema DeShepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.